December 15th, 2013. Today we are going to read from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. Bondservants who are under the yoke don't exist in our modern time, but it could mean those who are under the authority, like employee-employer relationship. So, as a Christian, we have to honor our boss, supervisor, and the business owner, and be obedient to them. But if you do not follow their orders, but try to be rebellious, the name of our God may be blasphemed. So, if you're Christians and want to follow God's teaching, you have to honor people who are in the position to be honored. You should not be rebellious and quick to fight with your boss or criticize government or emperors. Sometimes I encounter people who refuse to obey the people of authority, and they think that being rebellious is part of who they are, but that is not biblical at all. The verse 2. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who have benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort those things. If your boss happens to be a Christian, do not feel too comfortable and treat him as your equal. If he is in a position of honor, you should honor him and obey him even more because he shares the same faith. The verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness. There are people who teach wrong doctrines and even twisting things Jesus said. I have lived as a Christian for over 40 years, and I do see this tendency, and it is getting worse, especially nowadays. Many seminaries, churches, pastors, and Christians are now taking the Bible and its messages so lightly. Even if you go to seminary, you do encounter a teacher who does not wholeheartedly agree with the teachings of the Bible, or if you go to a Christian bookstore, you will easily find books which teach something not biblical. In the world, there are dishonest businesses that do not keep their word or promised deadline. The same thing is happening in the Christian world, too. You see pastors who claim to be teaching the Word of God, but what comes out of his mouth is not at all biblically sound. The verse 4. He is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions. You know people like that who criticize about everything and anything as if that would make him look more intelligent. Right now everyone is firing at the Tokyo mayor to the point that I even feel sorry for him, because I know what it's like to be in the center of criticism. There are people who criticize about anything, including the Bible teachings. When I hear such people, I just keep my mouth shut. And those who criticize others are being prideful because they think they know better than others. But those who claim to know more than others tend to know nothing, according to the Bible. I know people who have gone to seminary here or seminary in the U.S. or have titles and have claimed to speak Hebrew and Greek and so on, but they fail to perceive things of God. And as I told you, at church where I was baptized when I was 17 or 18, they had some seminary students visiting the church as a volunteer, and I was so shocked to hear that those students didn't even believe in the resurrection of Christ, nor in the Holy Spirit. They thought they were filled with knowledge that other fellow believers did not have. And I remember arguing with them, but they felt they were so knowledgeable that they were ready to teach other ignorant believers. Those who don't know anything is the one who is prideful and ready to teach others, but we have to know the Bible is truly inspired by God and it is filled with prophecies. Like God knew how the world would end even from the beginning. The more I read the Bible, the more I am in awe of His wisdom. Being obsessed with disputes and arguments over words from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions. Have you met anyone like this? I have, and this is so true that such people are so doubtful about everything written in the Bible, and they are obsessed with arguments. Like when you have a cold, you cannot help but to sneeze. Those people cannot help but to argue when they read the Bible. There are many churches like that and many books like that. Catholic churches do not even believe in the Bible since they don't believe in the Genesis. They doubt that the heaven and the earth were created by God and Adam and Eve were created by God. They believe that the people are the result of evolution. From which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions. So when we meet someone who is so knowledgeable about God's word, we might think that they're so peaceful and so God-loving, right? But those people are always source of envy, strife, reviling, and evil suspicions, and always causing troubles with other Christians. I used to belong to Brethren Church, and I saw many people like that. I went to summer camp with them and I took a friend of mine from another church, but those people from Brethren group would start an argument over a doctrine when there was nothing to argue about. My friend was very disappointed with that experience. The verse 5, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain, from such withdraw yourself. This is like a Pharisee and scribes of that time. Jesus told them that they are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful outside, but inside is full of rotten body parts. So those who are quick to argue and the self-claimed knowledgeable ones know any truth? No, the verse says that they are destitute of the truth. So those who are spreading the false doctrines of the end time and spend their time arguing with other churches, they're also far from the truth. Not talk about the end time at all is also wrong. We had a visitor came from another church for the last seminar, and she told us that her church never talks about the end time. So at our church, we only teach the Word of God as written in the Bible. If anyone disagrees, we do not argue. We just read the word and follow the word in our lives. For those who came on Saturday know that we have studied the book of Esther. Without doubting and without arguing, we just read Esther. No one in our group is exceptionally smart, genius, or gifted, but we all understand the word. I think as the time progresses, our faith and wisdom will be tested more and more. And what keeps us in such a time is not our IQs or school degree, just a simple and open heart to understand the Word of God. We have purpose to be that, and as a result, we are receiving wisdom and revelations that we never knew before. Oh, I just came up with a topic for the next seminar, the Book of Esther. It is hard to come up with a new topic every 2 months. In any rate, there are many seminaries that are teaching crazy doctrines. Not only the one I have mentioned before with the prideful students, there are other seminaries that are teaching wrong things too. Even when they have evangelical name attached to it, this school that some of our church members are affiliated with is also teaching strange doctrine. I had someone recorded the lectures and then I listened to the series for a while, The Comprehensive Study of the Gospel. This title of the course sounded very attractive, but as I listened to the course, it really made me angry. The doctrine was crazy. Love is the most important thing, he said. But not that nullified every other teaching in the Bible, and he disregarded all other commands of Jesus. That is what Paul says, arguments over words. I also remember another crazy teaching. He was saying that in the book of John, there's a passage that a branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away and be burned. But teacher was saying that in Greek, it does not say cut off, but it means to be lifted up. It does not make sense with the rest of the contents. That's why, as a result of argument over words, their mind gets corrupted. That's why they don't see that Jesus also talked about the judgment, saying that such branches will be gathered and burned. It is not only happening to the seminary, but also the church. And we just have to be very cautious not to believe in everything we hear. We have to know the Word of God ourselves. We should not follow a teacher or person. We should follow the Word. We live in the era that everyone is coming up with a new doctrine and arguing over this and that. But we should not argue with God's Word, because Word is God, as it says in the beginning of John chapter 1. It actually says Word was God, or should it be Word is God? The present tense? Is it a mistranslation? If I start arguing over these things, there is no time for me to receive revelations. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we carry nothing out. We can carry nothing out, and having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Here it talks about the consequences of pursuing money. But the very contrast is the verse 6 that says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment is being satisfied with what you already have. As you walk the Christian walk, you will encounter this kind of deceptions and temptations. If you pursue money instead of things of God, you may not be able to walk as a Christian. When I was young, I had a part-time job as a tuna fish cutter, and I met a person who was such a hard worker. He would start working at Tsukiji Fish Market at 5 in the morning, and after that he would come over to our workplace to work some more hours, and then he said he has another work as a waiter at a cafe afterward. I asked him when he sleeps, and he said he slept only 3-4 hours every day. He said he already bought a house, and back then the price of gold was getting higher, so he was always buying gold. I remember thinking, if I lived like that, I would not have a time to go to church or to read the Bible or even to pray. And although it was an extreme case, if we become greedy and too hungry for money, we might become like that. Yes, we have to work to put food on the table, but we also have to have contentment with what we have now, as the Bible also says, having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. And as the Bible says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. What we do for money is only for this life, and it does not affect the afterlife. Of course, if you can't even pay for a meal, you better work. But if you are fed and clothed, we have to learn to be content. And if you can feel that way, then that is a blessing. As the verse 6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Paul repeatedly says that godliness is great gain. Gain here is not monetary gain. gain is to obtain more important things in life, like the man who was working so many hours. If we spend 24 hours to earn money, you cannot do anything else. So we all have to learn where to draw a line and know what is good enough, so we do not go after the things you see or compare yourself to others who are pursuing those things of the world, like a nice house or lots of money in the bank account. Know what it is that you believe, and do not get swayed by what others are pursuing in their lives.